Today's February the 17th, Lakeland Housing Authority regular board meeting is now in session. The time is now 6 p.m.
Is it on? It is now 6 o'clock on February the 17th, and we will call the Housing Authority's City of Lakeland to order. Let us stand and pledge allegiance to the flag. Remain standing for a moment of silence. Thank you. We have four commissioners out of the seven, which gives us a quorum. We expect to have at least the one additional coming, and one that's out sick. So we do have a quorum. So we will move forward with the agenda. Approved of the minutes of the last meeting. If you had a chance to review them, if not, we'll take a moment.
Move their approval.
Here a second. Regular movement second is that we approve the minutes of the previous meeting. You've heard the motion. You're ready for the question. Those in favor signify by responding to the roll call.
Reverend Richardson, Commissioner Richardson?
Aye.
Commissioner DeCesare?
Aye.
Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
And Commissioner Sanders?
Aye.
Thank you. Oh, I skipped over the approval of the meeting of the agenda. Does anyone have anything that the commissioners want to add, or anybody that needs to? If not, then hearing nothing, we will accept the agenda as presented. Public forum. We have two individuals that would like to come before the board. Imani Hancock, printer. We understand you have some projects. Come right up. Don't be afraid. We're not going to bite you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Imani Hancock, and my dwelling is 1401 Kettles, apartment 203. And on Thursday morning of January 7th, my key was changed without my knowledge. I left my dwelling at approximately 10 o'clock, and 40 minutes later when I got back, I used my key to get in, and I was unable to get in. And I was about to go to the office to find out what was going on, and I saw two gentlemen in the other building at 1403, and so I walked over and asked what was going on, and the gentleman says, oh, we were supposed to change the locks. I said, but nobody gave any notification. Anyway, he handed me a couple of keys, and then I went to the office and spoke to the manager and said to her, you know, why would you change the locks without any notification? She said that there were notices that was put on everybody's dwelling, and I said, well, I didn't get one. So she said, well, maybe the kids took it off. Anyway, she printed this and gave it to me and said this was the notice. That night at 11 o'clock, this one was then placed on my door when I got home. And then since December, under my sink had been leaking, and I had to put a bucket under there. Mm-hmm. I went to the office, spoke to the manager, spoke to Gladys, spoke to the lady at the front. Nothing happened. Went back in January again. I did the same thing. I got on the phone. I called. Nothing happened. this is February. Still nothing has happened. I called here at the Housing Authority, spoke to someone who told me to call someone named Jennifer. I tried Jennifer's number, but the mailbox was full, so I wasn't able to leave a message. So I said, you know what? There's going to be a public meeting today, and I'm just going to come and make my presentation.
You came to the right place.
Thank you.
So we're just hold on for 1 minute.
Yes,
let
sir.
Me respond. Do you know that when you went to the office, that a work order get generated?
They said that they filled out work orders over and over and over again.
Okay.
And they didn't make. I even asked the maintenance guy, and he says I didn't see any orders.
Okay.
And I've spoken to all of the people that were supposed to be in charge, and nobody has done anything.
Okay. And I do understand that we changed the locks for security reasons. I apologize you didn't get the notice on time.
It wasn't just me. No one got it.
Well, What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Carlos, will you check this out? And meet with Mr. Hancock and to find out what the problem is, get that sink fixed. And I'd like for you to poll the other people in the complex to find out if they received a notice. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Judith Higgins.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm Judith Higgins. I'm living in the same complex she lives in the Clarendon Place, speaking as on the notices. Notices was not put out on the time frame, ma'am. Once they changed the locks, they stuck the notice in the door. I didn't have an issue with it. The issue that I had, how they know, the other people was really upset about it because they started calling my phone, asking me why was they changing the locks, knocking on the doors, knocking on my door, asking, you know, saying that their locks were changed, how do they get in? My understanding that they said that they didn't receive the notices that they were supposed to contact emergency service. And I constantly said to the vet them or whoever is in charge, if the tenants don't know who to contact, why don't you put it on the marquee so they'll know who to contact for emergency service? But with that being said, no one never puts it out there, haven't put it there. And I do know you're supposed to give a 24 to 48 hours to come in anybody's apartment. Well, I don't have an issue, but how they know if me and my mom was close? When they changed my lock, they took my keys to my mom. She called me on the phone. I get on 12 o'clock. She said, oh, I have your keys. But, you know, we are close. So I'm not going to make a big issue, but the issue is with all the other tenants. They stuck the notice. They did not put the notices out. The notices, they changed the notice on Friday. They stuck these in the door and all of that. And then also, excuse me, I had talked to Carlos the last time I was in the meeting about the keys to the community center. You say to me as a RAM, you have a community room. Excuse me. You have a computer for our kids out there. I have kids come asking, can they use the computer to do homework? I talked to Valerie about it. She said she would get with someone to let me know about the community room. No one has got me with it. We also have a group that comes on our property every Saturday, go to every unit out there, take their kid. It's some college students every Saturday. Since they changed the locks, they have to use me or my mom's bathroom. And it's about 30 kids from Florida Southern College, now let's say Southeastern College, comes out and work with the kids. If I'm a rap and you are, and I'm asking for help, and you got the kids out there, if the kids start tearing up, then y'all got to complain. When these people are out there helping with these kids, I have no help. I go to the grocery day. Well, the lady that was over came to my house and knocked on the door, and I asked her, would she go to the office? But she was going to another country. She didn't have time. But she wanted someone to give them the okay if they can use the bathroom. So they come to me or my mom's bathroom, which I don't have an issue, but I have tried so many times with them to get the key.
Because
I had a key since they changed it. Because I was letting them into your bathroom. No one has responded. I just went back to LaVette. She said, let me give her Carlos. So I don't know what else to do. I mean, I'm getting pushed away everything I try, but like they try not to help me.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, first of all, I'm sorry that you're inconvenienced, but you shouldn't have to be letting anyone use your bathroom.
Well, they have to help the kids. I don't have a problem with it.
Well, I have a problem with it because, you know, you have strangers in your house, you don't know, coming in and out, going to the bathroom, and next thing you know, something might be missing. So we have to look out for your security as well. So I appreciate your willingness to do that, but I would advise you not to do it because it puts you in harm's way that something could happen because these are strangers you don't know. But I'm going to refer this to the executive director and to Carlos. Now, on that notice, was it dated? Was there a date on the notice?
Yes.
Yes.
Here's the notice. It's a date.
What was the date?
The date said, it said, Carrington Place, Pick up your keys on Wednesday, January the 5th, 2015. Your doors will be rekeyed on Thursday, January 7th, 2015. But they rekeyed the doors on the 8th, which was on a Friday. And this was stuck in the door once they changed the locks.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll check the cameras too and see if they deliver on the 5th. So.
Yeah.
Well, I got mine to change at 5 because I remember my mom called me.
Okay, and what's the on the clubhouse? What?
No, I'll give her the keys. I was waiting for her to call myself.
I tried to call. No, when I called here, and they put me through your voicemail, and I couldn't get you.
Okay, so you'll issue a key to her, mm-hmm. So she'll have it available. We eliminate that problem. Okay, but I would like you to do the research on changing the lock changing. Mm-hmm. It seemed like it created a inconvenience for them there, so I want to get an idea what the schedule was and what the notice said and when the work was actually done. Okay? Mm-hmm. And we'll report that at the next meeting. Okay? Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for your input. Okay.
Thank you for listening.
Oh, you'll know, that's our job. So. Old business, recovery plan update. That's Commissioner Smith and myself, and we have been meeting diligently. We weren't sure what we signed up for, but we're working on the job. We did hold our meeting on Tuesday, February 3rd. All the commissioners should have gotten a copy of the minutes, I believe. Did everyone get a copy? They went out electronically, I believe. Well, if not.
Well, but they were included in the board.
If not, they're in the board package. Okay.
Right. I don't think we sent those separately, though. I think with those, we just we'll send it to you guys for approval.
Okay.
And then we'll put it into the board packet.
One thing that I want to say, and I'll also ask Commissioner Smith to comment, but one of the things we're finding out as we have these meetings is that the staff is really doing an outstanding job of trying to keep up to date with all the changes and things that are going on, and keeping us informed so that we can keep you informed as a total board. As you can notice in the minutes, we did Mr. Stevenson reported that on January 13th, we got the approval from HUD on the 2015 five-year annual plan. And you should have a copy of that in your board report.
It's section 4, last page of section 4.
Okay, so when we get to that, it's in there. Also that Carlos presented information around the amendment process. Because the funds were obligated for public housing, we have to, we have $1.9 million in housing in the housing fund, we have to make sure that money's obligated so they don't recapture it. So you'll hear more in the report coming forward relative to some amendments that we're bringing forward to include funding for job training, and we'll need to have that reviewed by the board. Also, Valerie brought out that the three things need to be added to the 2015 agency plan. The one is a correction deficiency with the housing authority communities as outlined in the green physical needs assessment, then the development of affordable housing units, and a contract for job training and job search and job development, which those are in our package. Both the committee, Commissioner Smith and myself, we had some concerns after going through the RIF that we're now looking at adding a part-time staff. But it was explained by the director, Mr. Stevenson, that because of the reduction in our staff, we went from 101 individuals to 35 since 2012, and that has really increase the workload on the staff that was left. Fortunately, we haven't seen a reduction in the quality of the work, which is says that the staff has really stepped up to the plate and tried to make up for that deficiency. But realistically, it's putting a lot of strain and stress on the staff. I think we realize that under that kind of pressure that we have to give them a little bit of leeway in some of the things that they normally would do if we had a full staff, as far as the things that are reported to the board in a timely manner. They're doing the best they can. So if they miss a date, we have to we want you to know that it's not that they're not doing their job. It's just that the reduction in staff has really overloaded them. But nevertheless, they're doing the job. We did have some concern when the budget spreadsheet was sent, was given to us. If you look at the Commissioner Smith brought out the point that it really didn't give us much wiggle room. When you looked at the bottom line, we were almost, you know, line to line on the bottom line. If one thing fluctuated or failed, it could create a ripple effect through the entire budget. We were assured that there was a plan B, and the executive director indicated that plan B was to manage the properties in a more efficient and correctly way in order to collect the fees. And then plan C is to do new development. So they do have insight in how they're going to handle a problem if a problem arises. But we are concerned that that as we look at the spreadsheet, that it's a slippery slope that we're on, so we have to be very careful, and they are paying attention to it. So we're satisfied up to this point that they're on top of it, and we won't see anything that's going to be hopefully disruptive as we move forward. We also talked about, Carlos recommended that we have a commission's retreat, which I think is a great idea, and that's on the agenda to talk about it tonight, so we can really talk about and spend some time as a complete board talking about the strategies that we might be able to use and how the changes that are anticipated are going to affect the agency as well as with the board. With that, I'll defer to Commissioner Smith for his remarks.
I think always concerned budget-wise as to what the appropriations will be from Congress for us, as to whether, you know, what we're planning on getting is what we will actually receive. And it appears that this year that we shouldn't have the same obstacles that we've had in the past few years as far as not knowing what the funding stream is going to be. It looks like that is a known thing this year, where in the past years it has not been. When you do a budget and you don't know what you're going to get, that's always a problem. Since it's a known thing, and we are submitting for the maximum on our fees that we had not been in past years, that'll be a help. As we get into the other part here, as they present the changes in the plan, we'll deal with that.
Okay. So we want to, I certainly want to recognize the work that that Carlos and his staff are doing and Valerie is doing. Valerie always reminds us she's not a finance person. But she's doing her best. She's doing her best along with the help she's getting in the area of finance. But they've been doing an outstanding job.
And I think we have made it very clear there's certain priority things that have to be done in a timely manner. There is no excuses for not getting certain things done within the time frame allotted. So
that's our report. Does any of the other commissioners have any questions?
I don't see a copy of those minutes, but maybe I'm overlooking it in my book.
Do we know if it's in the
book? I don't see them in here.
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes I have trouble finding stuff.
Okay. No, that's okay. Because we had asked that they be sent out to the commissioners along with the information that we had. As if it didn't happen.
That was my fault.
Yeah. Okay. So.
I mean.
Yeah, but
sometimes I do have trouble finding stuff. Just ask my wife. So.
Well,
I ask that they get them out right after the meeting.
Right.
Let's get a copy.
Part of the reason, you know, we were able to do that was because those are the minutes from the last meeting, which you all have not, you know, officially approved.
Right.
And so that was why. But if you all wanted to be sent out in a draft form, as long as the commission understands it's a draft. Yeah.
I think that's what we had requested. We said, Commissioner Smith was the one that said that immediately after the meeting, we should get the draft of the minutes out to all the commissioners. So that was my fault.
Brenda did say that that's what you all said, but I said, no, it goes to the committee members. So. It's easier to go to everybody.
Yeah, I think Commissioner Smith and I, we got ours on time, but the rest of the board didn't. So.
You didn't want a copy tonight?
We'll get you a copy for you later.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I just thought I was overlooking. I was like, no, I'm sorry. I apologize for that. Yeah. So, if there are no questions, we'll.
Could I add one thing on the current plan update? With the 10th Street commercial property, I think commissioners may recall that we were initially told by HUD that since we already had a previous approved by the psych office, that all we need to do is submit an update to the Miami office, update an appraisal, and a letter of tell them what we are going to do and to have them approve that. Well, I finally touched base with them and got a response. They are saying that they cannot approve that request because they do not have the authority. And that's because the previous approval was for a ground lease.
I saw that, yeah.
Okay. And so we are now proposing an outright sale. And so we would have to submit the request to the psych office. And that's the second resolution that you all see there. Okay. And basically, it's an amendment to the previous resolution.
Right.
We have to basically tell them what we're proposing to sell it for, who we're proposing to sell it to, what the sales proceeds will be used for, and also they want an appraisal as well. And the potential buyer is putting together an appraisal. Get another appraisal because they used an appraisal from 4 years ago, and so HUD wants a more recent one. And so as soon as they submit that appraisal to me, then if provided y'all approve the resolution, I'll go ahead and submit it to HUD. And Rick Gilmore and I spoke with Ms. Gray, who's over the psych office, and they promised to do an expedited review within 30 to 60 days upon receipt of the request.
Okay, good.
Now, was that the property we had one appraisal when the first buyer then backed out, or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I thought we did, and because I remember the amount was like $300,000 different what they offered and when the appraisal came out.
So, okay, that's a good update for us on that since our last meeting. So, Hopefully we'll move forward. Are we anticipating that to create any delay in the final sale of the property, or will it still hopefully be on schedule?
That's one of the things we're hoping not. I can't guarantee that, but that's the goal.
Okay, get Plan B ready.
When I met with the city, I just spoke with another person that's interested in the property should this one, fall through. So.
Okay, so we have a backup plan. Both?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. All right. So if there's no concern about the report coming from the Housing Authority, I don't think we need to actually have a roll call vote on that, do we?
I don't think so.
Yeah, we can accept
you
it
have as... That. Yeah, you have a resolution. Is that what you're
So we can accept it as presented. Okay. Thank you.
And that resident training issue on there, that's on the request of Commissioner Pimentel. And since he's en route, we'll be moving that down until he gets here so he can speak whatever his concerns are.
Right. Okay. The corrective action plan?
Submitted as written. I did receive comments from HUD, and you all will see that not in this report.
Okay. Don't surprise us
now. Yeah, but in next month's report, you'll see it. And basically what they wanted me to do was just basically those items that have been completed, to not submit those and just submit the progress on the items that are still open. And so that's what you'll be seeing. So as opposed to you all getting a 23-page report, I've already got it down to like about 7 pages. And so you'll see that next month.
Okie doke. All right. And let's hold up on the resident training until Commissioner Pimentel gets here. Let's go down to new business.
Okay.
It's recommending a change in the March.
Can we do something like this? Since that's related to the public hearing, public review, and the changes to the annual plan, can we do the presentation on the annual plan? It was included in the board packet, and we can go over that because it's related. It's the reason why we wanted to move the March board meeting, because of the 45-day review period. And so,
when would the 45 days?
Is it like March 15th or something?
About March 15th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, February only has 28 days.
Yep.
So March 17th, actually.
Okay. But what's the scheduled date for the March meeting?
That'll be one day later than normal.
Right. The board meeting is currently scheduled for March 16th.
Okay. So we can meet again on the 17th. Is that what you want to meet? If we're 45 days of the 18th.
Yeah.
Can we move it to next week?
Sometime after the
17th.
Can we go to the next week?
The 24th?
Yeah. Just give you guys. I'm just saying to give you guys some time, just to make sure.
That's appreciate that.
No, that's great. That's
I'd rather have it prepared if the commissioner is agreeable.
So instead of our regular date of the 16th, we'll move it to the 23rd?
Yes.
Is that the date, 16 and 17?
March 23rd.
Yeah, that
sounds good. It sounds like we're just cutting it real close, and I'd rather change it now than change it right before it if something comes
right
up.
Right, we can get it on our calendar. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it seems like we're in agreement that we will move the March meeting date to March 23rd. Okay. Thank you. Okay, next thing on the agenda, the commission's retreat. Anything to report on?
That's basically going to be a workshop to talk and get update you guys on the status, current status of the agency, the new budget, all of that, give you guys a chance to review it, ask questions, and the like.
You're planning it all day or half a day or?
You're not planning on making it a strategic planning committee.
It should be.
I don't think we need any committees or anything. I mean,
should be what?
I think we should combine the strategic with the retreat for the third day, and it should happen before, we come back to the board to get it approved, the significant amendments. So that's my recommendation, yeah.
Before the 23rd?
Yeah, I think that we all have to be in sync, and everything that we have to do in terms of, as an agency, with the money that we have to earmark, so HUD doesn't take the money away from us, and everything that we had to plan moving forward.
One of the concerns that we discussed at the current plan review committee meeting was that we are showing our properties as profitable, okay, the public housing. And when we were with the talking with the funding about doing some preliminary projections of what our funding would be, they're saying that there's a possibility that our funding could be reduced for next year. And so we want to discuss that, with the board and stuff. Again, all that's, preliminary and estimates and the like. And so, but that's what we want to prepare. And then the $1.1 million that we allocated public housing, We also want to obligate that money so the HUD doesn't say, okay, you guys got this money here, y'all can use this for operating and then reduce our subsidy. So that's one of the reasons we want to obligate the money as well. And so that's a couple of things that we'll be discussing as well. So
now, I just wanted to clarify that when we talk about public housing, we talk about AMP 1 and 4, AMP 2 and 3, Dakota, or Carrington Place, and Renaissance, they don't count for this fund. They because they're mixed finance, they have a different set of rules for, you know, the different fundings and stuff. So, and we cannot transfer money from public housing, traditional public housing, to Carrington or Renaissance. It's not allowed. So they have to work within their rules because they're owned by a private investor. Yeah. They're not owned by LHA, so, yeah.
Okay, so if we're planning to have the meeting on the 23rd, you want to have the retreat before that?
Yeah, what's it, the 15th? Ooh, week
boy,
before?
You're jamming us up here. Okay. when will you be prepared to present to us?
You don't think the 16th? After the day from the workshop? That's the Monday prior to the 23rd.
The 16th. Okay, yeah, 16th.
So the 16th was for y'all that Monday prior to
the. And that's during the day?
I'm sorry?
That will be during the day.
So March, the what was that date again?
March 16th.
March 16th.
I think you could do that maybe like in the afternoon.
Yeah, I guess we need to put the material together to really know how long it's going
to. Yeah, I just have to check my calendar at work.
Mm-hmm. Right, and I'm thinking we can probably do it, like say in the afternoon, take a half a day. That way you don't have to take your whole day from work.
Okay, since we're missing three, why don't we set a tentative date and make sure it fits their calendars and also legal. You're gonna pay for them to come?
You're planning on doing it here?
You're not doing that pro bono?
Commissioner Smith, where's it gonna be held? Half a day session here?
Probably here.
And so we'll tentatively say the 16th?
Yeah.
At what time? What time you want it?
1 to 5. Or unless y'all want to provide lunch, then we can. 12 to 5.
How does that fit with your schedule?
I need to check my calendar. I really do. Okay. I didn't bring it with me.
Yeah. It's just it cuts right into the middle of your work day. So.
Yeah. No, I just got to make sure I don't have any hearings or anything going on that day.
Right. Okay. Let's tentatively set it for the 16th, 1 to 5. And we'd like for you to everybody give feedback to the executive director if it fits their schedule. Then we'll have an idea of how many can make it.
Yeah, I'll send an email out. Well, I won't be in the office tomorrow, but on Thursday, send an email out.
Okay. All right. So we'll set that up as a tentative date, and hopefully we'll have it confirmed. Before the end of the week, hopefully, so we can get it on our calendars permanently. Okay. All right. Secretary's report. Operations.
Let me see if there's.
What tab is that?
The secretary portion is probably.
Tab six.
I think tab six. Everything that was new. Yeah, submitted that again. We went over everything.
Okay. Anything you want to highlight just briefly?
What I already did, the main thing was that the 10th Street commercial property.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that was the main thing. And we talked about the upcoming, budget amendments. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. Next, the administration.
For the bonds.
I don't see any report. I didn't see the S.
Okay. The next one is the housing.
Yeah, got it.
The next one.
The next report. This one here.
Okay. Well, I have a few highlights. We're still working on the HUD CMAP. That's the Section A report that we have to send to HUD. Basically, that is a summary of everything that we did for Section A for 2014, including how we spend the money, how many clients we serve, how many inspections we did, and if the inspections were on time, and there are other 14 different indicators that we have to go through and send that to HUD by March 1st. We were not done gathering all the information, and also we need the auditor to look at the information and issue a validation letter. So he's coming this Thursday to do that. We're asking the board to, through Resolution 15-1400, mm-hmm. to outright the ED and the chair to sign the certification as soon as it's completed on Thursday or Friday to be submitted to HUD. But we're expecting the score or the certification to still be high performing. We're in process of installing two additional light poles at Westlake Apartments. And also, we bought new security bulbs or lights for Carrington Place, Dakota. So we're going to be installing them soon. Hopefully, it's not going to look like a baseball park, but it's going to be brighter, the property. So that's going to help with security there.
What's the time frame on that, Carlos?
About 2 weeks. I'll tell you why. We just went through two REAG inspections for Renaissance and Hampton Hills. And the REAG inspection is basically HUD. They contract with these inspectors, and they come to your property every so often, depending on your scores. And it's a really intensive, high-stress level inspection. They go through all your system. They go through all your buildings. They select a sample of your units. They go through, they check the windows, smoke detectors, electrical outlets, kitchens, a stove, fridge, everything, toilets. So when we were finished with the inspections, we were pretty confident about the scores. So we received the scores, which are included in your books. For Renaissance, we have 196 units, about 60 buildings, and the score was 96 out of 100. For Hampton Hills, they inspected all the units. For Hampton Hills, all the buildings, those are the 11 houses, mm-hmm. and the score was 99. So for us as a housing authority, and with everything that we have gone through, reducing the staff, and basically, we know we have a lot more to do in order to put the housing in order. But I think that these two scores represent the way that represents something that a goal that we're trying to reach, but also give us hope that the team that we have is the team that we need, because 99 and 96 is actually amazing, you mm-hmm. know. And I have been doing this for the past 20 years, so 99 and 96, we were really happy with those scores.
Yeah, you should be very happy with
yeah.
So I've been through some reacts, and those are good scores. Yeah. So, those are very good scores.
Yeah, so, So I'm still happy. other than that, we had some resident activities and for the month of January, we had 669 visitors in this office that we took care of and we helped. And I think that's a lot for the staff that we have right now, but we're trying. So. Okay.
How's our occupancy rates?
Okay. It's really good.
They're all really good. Right?
The average on all the properties is 99%.
Yeah, the lowest one right now is Westlake at 95.
Westlake is 95, right? Mm-hmm. That's good. Okay, good. Three vacant units. Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. Okay, no. Good. Valerie.
Okay.
Finance.
Well, you will see that for this report, this is actually the first time that I've actually did the financials. Previously, they were being done by our financial advisor, Ray Corey. And we anticipated that we would have our fee accountant actually set up the reports, but we had some language we had to work out between outside counsel and their counsel. So that left me in a position where I got an opportunity to do finances myself.
Nothing like on-the-job training.
Yeah. So starting with Central Office Cost Center, you will see that what we actually ended up at the budget for the year in December 31st, 2014 was less than what we had planned, but to do that meant that we still had to get funding from Polk County Housing Developers, which is why we ended up at the end of the year at about $324,000 left in Polk County Housing Developers account. But it is less than what we had anticipated getting from non-federal, because initially we had planned on between development activities, which was separate from COCC, we would have gotten about $800,000 from it. So that's one of the success stories of where we fell out with year end for Central Office Cost Center. If you go to the balance sheet, though, we still had at year end, we still have receivables that we needed to get from Ross, as well as 21st Century and Youth Bill. Due to timing with the Ross, we actually had to submit the logic module for the 2013 grant. Now we've had that fully expended. They unlocked it so we could bill for the 2014 grant. We're still working out some items with the Department of Education on 21st Century, and all those transactions hadn't hit the books, so we weren't able to get it to hit by year end. So that's why on the balance sheet you see all those receivables or due from still on the books.
What about youth
bill? A youth bill, we're caught up with youth bill. We weren't able to catch up before year end, but we were able to. We had gotten locked out of the module. The consultant was actually doing all of the draws prior. And so that's when Kimberly and I had to apply for a password. And that happened, we didn't get our access to the system until January. Okay. So we weren't able to clear that off the books for year end.
Okay.
But those glitches have been worked out. Okay. And then for Section 8 program, one of the things that I was hoping that you would be able to see is the fact that we had a due to public housing of $165,000 that we had worked out with the HUD office to go ahead and have repaid. Even though the check was issued, the check was in transit. It didn't get deposited and kept clear, so it's not going to show in the 2012. You won't see that until 2013. That actual due to clearing the bank and going towards public housing.
So it's an in transit.
Yes, it's in transit.
Okay.
On public housing, and really glaring on public unless you have any questions specifically about public housing, I will go to Colton. I'm sorry, Dakota. Apartments. Okay, with Carrington Place, the biggest item that jumped out at me was the fact that our actual year end to date was -35.9. And even when you factor in depreciation, it's still a loss. And part of that is because Dakota Park was owed a reimbursement of $17,005. And that check did not clear before January, so we weren't able to claim it as income. So what happened is it ended up a little bit negative before depreciation.
So January should look better.
Right.
You now have passwords for all of the grants and all of the everything you now.
Yes.
Get the funding when we should get the funding.
Right.
On the Cobalt Carrington Place now. I notice you're carrying $17,000 for doubtful accounts. What is that? How do you come up with that number? On notes receivable.
Yeah, I see it. Allowance for doubtful accounts. I will have to actually, because I'm thinking, Carlos, those ones we don't think we can actually collect and we just need to clean up the books.
Yeah, these are credit that we use, for example, if we have bad debt, tenant rent, they're like, tenant that we know they're not going to pay whatever they owe because they move out and it's been, I don't know, a year and we haven't been able to reach them or find them and they didn't pay. We can use these allowance to drive those amounts off the books. So basically.
Okay, how stale are those? Are they over a year? Some of that money?
Oh, my knowledge is of, you know, to that, after that, that's accounting. But I know the definition, but I don't know the actual.
My only point is if something gets older than a year, we should just get it off the books and stop carrying it as a doubtful account. We should just take it off.
Shouldn't be over a year because they should have done that in the last audit.
That's what I'm saying. The auditor should have made that adjustment.
You know, at the end of the year, I was working with Ray on clearing some of the accounts, so I don't know how far he went.
Well, I know Stephanie, who is our part-time help, she is still working with Ray because, again, we got to get the FDS submitted to React before the year end. And they're still cleaning up books, and I've seen several emails between her and staff and Ray about the status of some, because she's running into debt that she feels like. I know we've had some that were 4 years old, but I can't remember what properties without going back to look at the emails. And she is in the process of trying to get that off the books.
Okay. What collection efforts do you do on that doubtful debt before? I mean, do we do any type of collection efforts?
We always do try to collect the money.
We report to the credit card.
I think for the
cut them a piece if they get anything.
Much, but
yeah. If they get it, you get something. Right? Yeah,
you turn over to the collection agency.
Know for sure if you did it.
Yeah, I just want to make sure that we were pursuing trying to collect it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if we can't, then get it off the books.
And we have some
even when we take it off the books, we still continue with that.
But at least we're not carrying it. Yeah.
And I can tell you the few collected money that we have logged with is because people are now buying a house and they need to repay. But other than that, they don't really pay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Renaissance didn't have anything glaring because it actually cash flowed at the end of the year once you factored in, took into account the depreciation. Let's see.
Need more of those.
Colton Meadow was cash flowing. And then bonded as cash flowing once you, you know, make your adjustment for depreciation and amortization. Same thing with West Barto. So I believe that takes us to the grant report. So in the process of preparing the financials, did notice that there was a difference between how we view the grants reports, what was being reported to you previously versus what I'm telling everybody to report to you now. Previously, what we've done on the grant reports is we would actually run the job cost report in Yardi for the specific grant, and whatever it showed as expended would be reported to you as dispersed. Well, me being new and not realizing how the previous folks did it, I actually went into ELOCs and the Department of Labor and the Department of Education website to see what they paid us. And I noticed there was a difference. So you will see moving forward on the grant reports that even though it's less than what we had showed you previously for November, that's why. Because I feel as a board member, since you are in charge of making sure that we're spending and obligating the money timely so it doesn't get recaptured, you need to know what actually got dispersed,
right,
and what actually got expended. And then that'll give you a better idea of whether or not we actually are able to meet our deadlines. Mm-hmm. And so the job is to go back and for the differences on the different grants that had variances to it, to see if that money is collectible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then if not, then that's part of why some of the ARs that you have on the books is why you have them in the actual balance sheets, because the money was spent in the system but hadn't been dispersed from either HUD or
right.
the state.
Right, okay, good. I think we'll hire you.
We don't need the other one. We just keep Valerie.
We just keep Valerie. Okay. Anything else you want to highlight? Is there any of the grant monies that we're concerned about not being able to obligate?
Well, part of the reason why we want to have the workshop is because we do have all that RHF money that has to be obligated this year. I mean, we have to really need to have it obligated by August of this year. And the issue with that is we have replacement housing factor funds, and even though the capital fund program rules have changed, where they recognize the smaller housing authorities have a hard time obligating RHF, and they changed it to a different type of funding so you could use it on modernization and or new construction, the funds we have can only be used for new construction. Mm. So that's where we're looking at properties where we have green physical needs assessments. Carlos had mentioned earlier with Carrington Place and Renaissance, because those are mixed income, they're really not our properties. We don't want to take our public housing funds to spend it on those properties because right. they have an investor who owns 99.99% and should be concerned about making sure those properties are viable. But for properties like Cecil Goldberg that have a small unit count, it makes it difficult to do a tax credit application for that $1.1 million, for instance, that we got from non-federal to pay back public housing. That's an opportunity to be able to do some of the modernization that was talked about in the green physical needs assessments and the aging in place project. But we know that we have to give you the benefits and the of doing each project and the feasibility of getting all the design work done in time to have it obligated. So those are items that we want to look at during the strategic planning meeting. But we still have several options on the table, and you'd have to turn in a developed proposal. But Hope 6 money can be used for either new construction or modernization, so that you could possibly, we have drawings for Cecil Goldberg. We just never put city's comments and finish permitting them because we were looking for other funding sources to do the project because we wouldn't have had enough to do all the things that they asked for with the replacement housing factor funds because that would have to be new construction. We still have the 15 vacant lots at Renaissance that we could develop. And we've also been working with the developer that we solicited to redo Westlake as well as 10th Street property across from Colton. So we have some options, and we wanted to outline them for you and let you see how the numbers work, so we'll know how to obligate that money, send it to HUD, so we can go ahead and get that slated for a project. So that's the main purpose. And the RHF will be the money that we really focus on, because that's the hardest to obligate.
I can see that. It's not a criticism, it's just a question. I noticed on the RHF, a lot of that money was, the start date dates back to 2009.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and the obligated date was 15. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it seems like we should be paying more attention to obligating that money on the front end rather than waiting until the end when we get almost off the cliff. Then we're running to trying to figure out how to spend it.
Well, they did have a plan. I can tell you they did have a plan, but that money, you wouldn't want to do the plan now, because they were actually going to acquire more houses like Hampton Hills and rehab them and do.
So it was a bad plan. But you got to have a plan. That's
They had a plan. It's just, you know, we know in this market it would be. Yeah. Kind of hard to push that, so we need to do something.
Right. But all I'm saying is I think we need to pay attention to that start date, because we had 6 years to come up with a plan.
Right.
And here we are. It's
5 months, 6 months.
We're almost at the edge, and we're wondering how, you know, when we had 6 years to figure it out. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I know with short staff now, it's even going to be more difficult. But back then you had staff, you could have done something, so... I think
you're going to have a plan for us that retreat on the 17th or whatever that date was.
16.
So
we're going to try to present a plan.
I think that's critical. Look at the money that's sitting there.
Right.
We haven't obligated $1 yet.
Yeah, we're not.
And there's got to be some administrative funds within that, right?
Well, you have to turn in. They want to see
if you get creative.
I think we get your point. You know, we ought to make sure that we be extremely cautious with the spending of the money. Make sure that no money is all returned, and give you all a proposal for the use of these funds that you all feel comfortable with.
And that is going to be in compliance with the terms of the RHF.
Spend on something
and then have to find out later that wasn't eligible.
So just something to
want to do
keep
the research before rather than later.
Right. That's
another one of Valerie's strengths.
Right. that was like I said, it wasn't a criticism. It's just a comment, because it's easy to fall asleep at the switch when you figure you got that much time.
Yeah.
Before you know, time has run out. Okay.
Do you have to get this approved before you can obligate it? And what the timeline is for that to happen?
As we get it submitted, go ahead.
Well, what happens is you have to do it with RHF, because it has to be new construction. We actually have to do a development proposal to HUD. Now, we've done
that's
some
how
before.
I was understanding.
Well,
that's how I was thinking. Yeah. I mean, it's not always quick.
Right. No. And of course, HUD wasn't amenable to approving anything until they got the $1.1 million back. So that was part of the reason for going ahead and saying, hey, we fought them for 2 years. They're not going to approve anything. We got other money that we will be putting in jeopardy if we don't go ahead and give them what they want. So part of that whole repayment of that amount was so that they would allow us to move forward.
So what is the estimate usual review time? 60 days or?
Well, the difference with the Miami field office is they actually have the authority. They don't have to send it to D.C. So if they feel comfortable with it, they can actually do the approvals. That's why when they wanted the money, we said,
give them
the money.
We are hold for 90 days or less. Mm-hmm. And according to our long calls, like say, if within 90 days you haven't heard from them, we can basically assume that it's approved.
Okay.
So,
and the reason I'm just saying, because you got 90 days, that even cuts your timeline even
less. Then you only got 90 more days.
No, once
that's right. That's right.
No, we're good. They can take all the time they want to approve it. We just have to be.
So the clock stops when you submitted
it. But also it doesn't look good for Miami to not to approve and of losing the money because basically they would be losing the money too. So.
I'm just trying to understand it because I don't think we did much of that since I've been here. So.
Right, that's
or if we did anything. So I just want to make sure I understood it.
The key is to get the revitalization.
No, I know. I mean, I'm just saying, though, I mean... Yeah.
The key is to get the revitalization plan amendment submitted, mm-hmm. and we need to make sure that the options that we have is scenario 1, 2, and 3 is what the board agrees on. I mean, I remember we passed some other strategic planning meetings with other commissioners, and not everybody was on agreement with how the money should be obligated. Mm-hmm. So if we can feel comfortable about that, then you go ahead and you amend your agency plan, which we'll talk about later, and you submit the revitalization plan amendment with timelines, then Miami has expectations of when you'll actually start spending the money, and that gives them, the thing is to give them a comfort level that you can do the project, that you're going to have drawings done and it permitted and can start construction in time to spend it by the end date 2017. Prior plans that we've had, even though it was new construction, at Westlake, when we didn't get the tax credit application funded, then they got panicked about letting us go after another tax credit application with RHF being a part of the deal because they said if it doesn't get funded and they know how the cycle works, you lose the money. So they're looking for something where you could either do bonds, it's not competitive, or you have enough money between your public housing reserves and your Hope 6 and or RHF that you could actually get the project done without relying on getting a competitive allocation of tax credit.
Okay. Good.
So.
All right, thank you.
And I think this meeting is really important, not only because that, but we need to talk about Carrington Place, Dakota, the 15 years compliance period, and in about a year and a half, we need to decide as a group, if we're gonna keep the property, we're gonna sell the property, or what we're gonna do with that property. With Renaissance, we're 2 years away. So this is a critical moment.
But it hasn't planned our exit strategy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. No, that's good. At least you got it on the drawing board. Anyhow, mm-hmm. That's good. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Ready to move to resolutions? Anything on resident services?
I know they've started their cycle. They had about 50 residents that actually was trying to be a part of the 19 slots for youth bill. They started their cycle. So it's nothing really extraordinary to report on that.
Okay.
They still having a meeting monthly? Or
the resident
communities? Residents.
Oh, properties, yes.
Yeah, properties. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Anything else to report under that? We'll go into the resolutions. Okay, let's take resolution
15-1398. Resolution 15-1398. We're seeking the approval from the board. We're switching or we're changing software. We're going from Jardy to Emphasis. The reason why we spend the last 2 years trying to get Jardy to submit a proposal to they, for some reason they refused, they didn't do it. We had a conversation with them last year. They reduced their fees about 20%. Still we issued the RFP. They didn't respond to the RFP. So at that point we decided to
because you remember they had a contract,
right.
I think a 5-year contract, mm-hmm. and it was expiring.
Right.
And we did an emergency extension for 1 year, mm-hmm. trying to give them opportunity to respond to the RFP, and they never responded.
Okay.
So, and we cannot extend the contract anymore.
Okay.
So we went through the selection process and Emphasis. Emphasis received the most points. In actuality, other than the first year, because it's the implementation year, the year 2, 3, and if we enter into the following year, are going to be less expensive. Jardy cost per year was about $60,000. emphasis is about 45% of what Jordi was. The first year is 109,000 because, again, is when the transition is going to happen. They had to train the entire staff. They had to transfer the information from Jordi and Lindsay's to Emphasis. So this is the reason why it's more expensive.
What did you have in the budget for that this year?
We have money in different. Every property and every program is going to pay their own share. So
is there enough to cover the 109?
We do have enough to cover everything, including.
Yeah, I was going to say, plus HUD approved the 2015 budget, which is the next one of the other resolutions that's in the. And so also just from the capital funds, because they have a management improvements line item, the 1408, we have resident training, software, et cetera. I had an opportunity to actually put $20,000 in there just from capital fund 2015 alone to go with what the properties are paying.
So we have the 109.
Across from the properties and the capital fund, once you add all the budget stuff, yes, you do.
We're not using, not spending that money more than one place.
It's a shared expense across the property. That basically summarizes what she said. And there's the total amount. It's in the budget. It just spread across the property.
And it seems like last year, for a whole year, we ran two programs the whole year, and that didn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to me. And now we're going to a new one. What are we going to be running parallel? Two systems again?
It's a transition.
The implementation is going to start April 1st. It's going to take about 5 months. But when we're done with that, we're going to cut out what called the other two programs and just continue with one. We don't want to do the same thing.
Yeah, the issue with Lindsay and Yardi is the relationship. Mm-hmm. Emphasis is able to actually convert Lindsay's information into their system.
So interfaces.
But Yardi couldn't do that. So stuff that was prior to 2010 had to be in Lindsay, and we needed to pay for it to keep it. Then everything after 2010 was in Yardi because that was the software that we'd gone to.
Yeah.
But Emphasis will eliminate that.
Yeah, and we were just being overly cautious with running in the background to make sure that there was not any kinks in the life. Mm-hmm. And also trying to make a determination as to whether or not we were actually going to stick with Yardi or someone else, and where we was playing earlier, we're not going to go with another vendor. And then again, that 5 month transition period, that's standard, that's energy standard.
And how long has Emphasis been doing housing authority type work? Long
years.
Time.
Years.
And it will have no issues with either of the old programs, Yardi or the.
They can convert.
They both can convert.
They can work with Yardi to do the conversion.
That's what I'm talking about. So that won't
Yardi
be
Yardi and with Lindsay.
Housing Authority of New Orleans was running Yardi, and they transferred from Yardi to Emphasis. And they have a lot more amps than we do. They had a $2 billion.
They have a lot of other things than we do, too.
I was going to say, Hannah, when they did the transition in the first part of 2012, they actually had they had Yardi that they had to convert, and they had Visual Homes, and I'm trying to think of the other one. So Emphasis, for whatever reason, they've done enough housing authorities work that they have relationships with the other vendors. They either pay for the license or what the people, they can actually convert their data and get it uploaded.
No problem. Good.
So
good. Sounds good.
And I know that from experience, just from what they did at Hannah. So.
Okay. Move approval of resolution 15-1398.
Second.
It's been regularly moved and seconded that we approve resolution 15-1398. And for the record, I want to indicate that Commissioner Pimentel, our chairman, has joined the meeting. So let's have the roll call.
Commissioner Pimentel?
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson?
Aye.
Commissioner DeCessari?
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders?
Aye.
And Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
Okay. 15-1398 has been approved. 15-1399.
Yeah, again, this is the resolution for us to submit an amended request, from submit a request to amend the piece approved for the disposition of 10th Street property. And as we were saying earlier, the Miami office informs that they do not have the authority to approve the request because of the ground lease issue. Mm-hmm. And so we need to submit an amendment to the previous approval, where we basically provide the new details, the buyer's name, dollar amount, intended use of the proceeds, that type of thing. And we have to send that to the site office and need a board resolution.
Any other questions on 15-1399? If not, I'll accept the motion.
A motion that we accept 15-1399.
We have a second.
Second.
Regularly moved and seconded that we approve resolution 15-1399. You heard the motion, ready for the question? All in favor? Oh, sorry. Roll call.
Commissioner Pimentel?
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson?
Aye.
Commissioner DeCessari?
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders?
Aye.
And Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
Okay, let's see. That's 15-1400. That in the book?
Yeah.
I ran out of 99.
Yeah, well, I didn't even have 99.
It's on the next page.
You don't have 99.
Oh, you mean the actual resolution.
I got 1,400.
You got 1,400?
No, I mean, no, I got 1,401, I'm sorry.
I don't have
that. It's right behind the letter under the...
Oh, okay, all right. That's
1,400 is a different format.
I got it.
You don't have 1,399.
Yep, I got it.
You should
have. I may be overlooking it.
It was a... Yeah, you had it.
1398.
On the other side of the yellow sheet.
Let's see here.
This is 1400, okay? It's mine.
Okay. No. Sorry, sometimes I just.
Let's see here.
1401, I saw. That's 1400.
Yeah, that's there.
I got 1400. I do have 1400. Thank you very much.
Okay, and you mixed up something here. What's this?
No, it just had
just a different.
I had a memo on the front. That, gotcha. That threw you off.
Yeah, thank you. That was laying here when I came back.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It goes to your 1401.
01 right there. I have 1401. Thank you.
Do you need 99?
I looked at hers.
I gave her
and he gave me. Okay. He gave hers, okay. And she was kind enough to look at hers.
Yeah. Okay. 99 is passed.
Yep.
Okay, we're on 1400. We'll take it. You can.
Okay, go ahead. Listen, I've been stuck in traffic for 2 hours. You can keep on.
I don't want to usurp your authority. Okay, resolution 15-1400.
Resolution 15-1400. Basically, I'm asking the board to authorize the executive director and the chairman to sign the CIMA certification for Section A as soon as all the validations and the reports and the auditor goes through the numbers and the information that we have to validate the scores, and then so we can then submit the scores to and the information to HUD before March 1st.
Okay. Entertain a motion. 15-1400.
That's a motion to accept resolution 15-1400.
Could I have a second?
Second.
Commissioner Smith. Sanders. I'm sorry. Heard the motion, ready for the question? Roll call.
Commissioner Pimentel?
Aye.
Commissioner Richardson?
Aye.
Commissioner DeCessari?
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders?
Aye.
And Commissioner Smith?
Aye.
Okay. 15-1400 has been approved. 15-1401.
Resolution 15. I guess I'm. talking like Valerie.
They can understand me.
I'm getting all my resolutions approved. Without explanation.
You're just digging deeper now. Leave it alone.
I can understand you, Carlos.
I don't understand her either.
Okay.
Then you go.
Okay. Resolution 15-1401 is because after we put the board package together, we received notification from HUD and the Ledger that they actually made an award of the 2015 capital fund money, and they gave us a little bit more than what we had put with the agency plan, because what you do is anticipate based on the budget you had the previous year, and they ended up between the RHF funding and the CFP money giving us $6,000 more than what we thought we were going to get. So in order for me to be able to submit the budgets before March 15th, I knew I couldn't wait for March board, because we need to move March board so we can have the strategic planning session and workshop, as well as to go to get to the end of the 45-day period on the amendment to the agency plan. Wanted to go ahead and get authorization for the executive director to submit the budget with the additional $16,000 for finalizing the budget so it can go into ELOCs. Because right now, if they put into ELOCs what we've sent them, it will be $6,000 short. So it's just a simple. And the money that we did, we put it in 1408 so that we would have the flexibility with the consolidation of the capital fund program rules. They're working to get rid of the 1408 management improvements because they said housing authorities across the country aren't using it. And that's where you have your money for your resident training, as well as your software that you have to update. So if we're going to do any transitioning, while they're allowing us, that you used to could use 20% of your award for that. And as you get to the end of the five-year process, you won't be able to use any. So right now, where we can ask for 16% of the total award for management improvements. So this budget bumps it up to include $6,000 plus to ask for the full 16% that we can have of the award to go towards the 1408 line item.
Okay.
Could you have Carlos clarify what you just said?
Can we have that in Korean, please?
They understood the 99 and the 96.
Okay. Any further questions on 1401?
Almost call you Teddy.
I'll entertain a motion for resolution 15-1401.
So moved. A second.
Moved and seconded. Roll call.
Commissioner Pimentel.
See. Aye. No.
Commissioner Richardson.
Aye.
Commissioner DeCessari.
Aye.
Commissioner Sanders.
Aye.
And Commissioner Smith.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Pimentel has came. We were going to go back up to that resident training issue.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that had your name on it.
Yeah. Yeah, the resident, under old business, the resident training, I think at the recovery meeting you mentioned about that. Boy, you want to just expound on your, you said we were going to talk about it.
Like I said, I've been stuck in 2 hours traffic, moving 2 miles an hour from exit 79 to 62 took me an hour and a half. Do you know what kept these people back? There was a trooper on the side of the road with his lights on.
That'll slow it down.
And that's why I'm here. And he wasn't doing anything. He could have been texting his wife. He was just sitting there. So that's why I'm late. Excuse me. Did you guys get to discuss the
resolution? No,
okay.
We
skimmed that for you.
All right. I sent. We're having conversations about the residence boards that, and a lot of them they're here and they just don't understand what their duties and their functions are, and they haven't been trained. We haven't sent any of them for training, and we're sure we're in a cash strap mode and everything, but we're still obligated to get these people trained. They serve no function to us if they don't understand what their duties are, what their rights are, what they can and cannot do. And it's up to us to get these people trained. So I actually was looking at something came to us a while back from this organization called Radar. And Radar, I can't tell you what it stands for right now, but the first R is residence, okay? And they actually give a training to the residents, and they tell them what their rights are, what their duties are, their responsibilities, and they explain the CFR to them. You know, and I think it will benefit us as well as them for them to be properly trained. Except I don't remember what was the cost of it. It was above what's
It was above 2,000, which, you know, per the HUD guidelines, we have to go through some type of procurement process, and that's what we would do. And one of the things I suggested was because we'll be having elections in a few months, and that I don't know if the current members are going to seek re-election or what. And so I was going to propose that when we had an election, we had the training set up, the procure, and that way, because like that way we won't waste money if someone decides they're not going to seek re-election.
That would be perfect. You know, it coincides with the election. That would be perfect to do that.
Yeah.
You know, once whoever's in, get them trained.
And there is money in the agency plan for the resident training as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does Saxton Gilmore do any type of training like that? Because I know you guys do abundant trainings. I just didn't know if that was one that...
Well, I'm assuming
this said this was just over 2,000, though.
they do a pro bono. So that's why I was trying to lean toward them.
Because, we'll tell Rick that Rob about to do a pro bono.
We put together training for, usually it's management staff.
Yeah,
but this would be for residents as far as what their obligations under the lease are, what rights they have as residents to, you know, organize, so forth and so on. Is that the kind of training?
Right. It's geared toward not to residents. It's
for the resident advisory board.
We really don't do that type of training.
No, that's fine. No, I just know you guys are nationally known and for training.
But we
just
put together anything you want.
At a cost.
I just didn't know you guys were
best to do that. And so I don't think we have a problem finding one who would provide the training.
And I know NARO provides it and FARO provides it, mm-hmm. and they provide it at a substantial amount.
Exactly.
So
what we're looking at was like probably having someone come here and do the training.
Yeah. Just imagine it's cheaper if you have them come here rather than send people away. You're looking at hotels, per diem,
and you know you're empowering them when you educate them.
Exactly.
And that's what I always was a big advocate of the commissioners. I said if we don't go and learn what our duties and obligations are, then we're ineffective.
Right.
So I think it's the same thing with them.
It's exactly the same thing with them. There are things they can overstep their duties and not know it. You know, maybe some of them would feel like they set policy. Mm-hmm. You know, because they don't really know. We're not here to set policy and think they could dictate what the housing authority does or even what the board does when they don't understand. No, it's the board that actually sets policy. You know, and, but if they get trained, they'll understand that.
Correct. Good point. Good, very good point.
Okay, so the, it appears that the consensus is that we should move forward on it right after the elections. Mm-hmm. So why don't we put the wheels in motion now to find out about who radar, whoever's going to
go through the procurement process.
Right. Now, and so get it in place by the elections for the comes up. I want to thank the chairman for that forward thinking.
Good point.
Yeah, very good. It'll actually make our job easier, too.
Yeah, oh, my goodness, yes.
It'll make our job easier. Okay, well, thank you for that information. So we'll look at the procurement process and move forward on that.
Sure.
Okay, I think we're down to the last item, legal.
When were we going to do the presentation that we had for the bar committee? Weren't they going to do that?
Another business, huh?
Oh, yeah.
The PowerPoint's in there.
Yeah, it's not on the agenda.
Well, I thought it was supposed to have been part of the one of the earlier discussions.
Yeah.
And so... which one of y'all want to walk them through the...
Me, George.
Okay.
Wow. Oh, no, you're speaking with better than me.
If you go over to the PowerPoint presentation in your...
It's under other business at the back.
Yeah, I'll bring it to the back and then go to about 3 pages in is where the PowerPoint is. I think about 6 pages in. Basically, we presented this to the Recovery Plan Review Committee, and we said we would present it to the board as well. And this is the email simply to you all as well. So.
Okay. Well, what we had explained to the Recovery Plan Committee is that we actually needed to do a significant amendment to our 2015 agency plan. And the reason being is because our fiscal year ends on December 31st, then we have an obligation to submit our agency plan each year by October 15th. During the 2015 planning process, even though we went through our 45-day public review and met with the resident leaders and the public, the day that we were going to the board meeting to actually get the plan approved, the Miami field office decided they wanted to come up and pay a visit. And one of the focus of their visits was the fact that they would like to see a repayment towards the debt owed to public housing. So non-federal sources paid $1.1 million back to public housing. At the time, though, we already in a position where we have to submit the amendment because we have to meet the timeline. Well, the actual agency plans because we had to meet the timeline. So we didn't have an opportunity to go back and say, hey, there's $1.1 million that is now being added to this agency plan that was not prior part of that plan. And so now we have to do that. We need to be in a position where we say that we recognize that we have repaid this money, it's available, it's restricted for public housing uses, and we need to actually earmark what those uses are going to be so that HUD does not see the funds and come back and say, we don't need to give you subsidy to operate because you have $1.9 million in reserves. We need to make sure as an organization that they're clear that we have physical needs assessments that were done per their request once they consolidated the capital fund program rules. And between all of our properties that have public housing units, you have a $20 million issue for this agency over the 20-year period. But if we go ahead and correct the items that are most urgent, that fall into the safe and sanitary category first, then we would actually need that $1.1 million to do capital improvements. So the main cause for this is because we got the repaid another $1.1 million and the timing of when we actually did the repayment but had to submit the agency plan. And then also, as part of this, we wanted to do a job readiness, job search and assistance, and job development contract to help benefit our families, because we know with the RIF, we've done a lot of downsizing of staff. They don't have as many people to go to for services, so we wanted to be able to, as part of pre-development activities for the actual capital work that we plan on doing at the property, we wanted to make sure that we had a contractor in place who could prepare these families, make sure that they would be ready to come back to the, will come to the new community or modernized community. So all of that falls into play, but we have to actually show how it is going to benefit public housing. So they want to actually see that the money's obligated. These are the hard costs to build the buildings, but these are the soft costs also to do the design, prep the families, etc. So that's the main reason for the amendment.
Okay.
In a nutshell, basically that's what all the slides are basically describing. When we submitted the agency plan at the time, yeah, it was $894,000 in public housing operating funds. Now, like I said, it's $1.9 million.
Anybody have any questions?
And on the spreadsheet, she put notes out to the side as to the things that did change and why they changed.
Yeah, that's right. We asked them to do that, yeah.
Yeah, that's part
of the change. That's the change from the original Jones Secret 2 months back.
Right.
And that's what highlight like that.
Could you try to make the spreadsheet a little smaller now? Save on paper a little bit.
Then we couldn't read it.
Okay.
Makes me want to get glasses.
Oh. Okay, thank you for that update on that.
And we did have questions about this, and that's the reason I didn't have the explanations at the side and so forth.
Right,
so,
right.
And with those explanations, we were satisfied with what we saw.
Okay. All right, down to legal.
Good evening, Commissioners. Rick had a discussion with me generally, I guess, giving me an overview as to some suggestions regarding your ED's eval process, and he advised that he spoke to Commissioner Richardson in more detail, and I guess Commissioner Richardson, he indicated that, you know, I should defer to you, as I guess you can explain to the board what his suggestions were.
Right.
I'd be happy to recap.
Yeah, we did revise the instrument that would for the evaluation of the executive director, and it's due in May, and where we weren't able to do a previous one, my suggestion would be that we do the evaluation based on the 2-year gaps, not just the 1 year, but we missed a year, so just look back 2 years, and those that weren't here, you can look.
We do 1 year.
You do the 1 year, but those of us that were here. So I think it gives a fairer evaluation, because where we were 2 years ago to where we are now is totally different with all the reduction in staff and all the things that have happened. So we want to be able to give a fair evaluation since we didn't do an evaluation last time. So this evaluation will cover basically a 2-year period, get us back on track. And this is it's due in May, so we need to get the instrument out and have it to return to legal by. Mm-hmm. Did he give us a deadline or anything?
No.
When he sends the instrument out, he should tell us when he wants it.
Yeah, he can put it in an email. Disseminates it to you.
Because we want to be diligent, and it's only fair to the executive director to have an evaluation. It's not fair for him to be 2 years and without an evaluation. So we want to try to cover those 2 years and be able to get it up to speed, and then we will move on from there. So. We'll have the legal counsel will send it out, and that's the ground rules that we'll use. That those of us that were here 2 years should evaluate based on a 2-year time, and those who are only here for 1 year evaluated on what they've seen in 1 year. So Does anybody have any questions? That's my only my recommendation to the commissioners. If we feel that makes sense, then we can go ahead and do it that way. Okay. All right, hearing no comments, then that's what we will do. And when Rick sends out the instrument has the guidelines built right into as part of the package.
And I'll convey that request to Rick.
Yeah, okay. Anything else for legal?
No, I have no further report. If you have any questions about something specific, I'll be happy to try to fill it in.
No, does anybody have any questions for legal based on where we are and what we've done? Okay, hearing none. I want to certainly thank everybody for coming out on such a rainy night. And those of us that were diligent in getting here, thank you for getting. I hope you pray that you'll be getting home safe. And we are certainly glad to see our chairman who finally made it, in spite of all the frustration that he went through. But it's glad to have him here. I certainly want to say to the executive director and the staff that we certainly recognize the job that you're doing. We recognize the stress that you're under. But the quality of service has not dropped. And I think you're to be commended for what you're doing. I know it's taking a lot of time, a lot of hours. Commissioner Smith and I have an opportunity to come in and talk to you in between meetings, and we can see the work that's being done. So I want to let you know that it's being appreciated and it's not going unnoticed. So thank you to the Executive Director and his staff for the work that you're doing, and even the volunteer work that's being done.
Especially.
He said the riff might have stopped the income, but that doesn't make any difference. He can still be here to help support. So we appreciate that, too. So no other business? Okay.
Just wanted to update him about the dates we talked about for next month, just before he can mark it on his calendar.
Yeah, it's
March 23rd.
March 23rd.
For the regular board meeting.
1 o'clock.
And then a workshop. We're looking at March 16th. And I don't know if you'll be able to come in here like 1 to 5 in the evening better, or I guess it is.
What? I don't even know what.
That's a Monday.
It's both Mondays.
That was a previous board meeting.
No availability during any day.
During the week.
Okay. Never. That's the next availability I have during the day in a week is like in July.
We may have to. Can't have a meeting without the chairman.
I'm available Saturdays. I drop off my brats anywhere to get away from them. Do you understand? Mothers always have that look on their face. Like, they are brats. Give me a break.
Go back to the drawing board.
Saturday, I'll be able to do an evening meeting.
I can do an evening.
It could be an evening, Saturday.
Yeah, that weekend before is not good for me.
Well, you know, it was originally on our calendar to have the 16th as our normal meeting. Why don't we just have it?
The workshop then?
Move it to 5 o'clock.
From 6 until 10?
So 5 to 10. I'll tell you one thing, it'll make it shorter. but since we had that on our calendars, we might want
to
use
5 to 8?
Yeah, from 5, say 5 to 8. Anybody can make 5 o'clock?
Well, I don't know if... Is 5:30 better for you? Or 6?
Did you see how long it took me to get here? When I called you, I just thought I was going to be 5 minutes late.
Right.
You see that? I'm over there happy. Yeah, just start. I'll be there. And I'm in my mind, I'm going to be 5 minutes late. Meanwhile, I'm still in the 70s at 5:45 and saying, this is not happening. Where's my plane? I need to fly there.
Okay. Maybe we'll get your police escort to get you there on time. But
I can, six. Look at, I try to make six. It was just the rain, I guess.
Yeah, probably.
Mixed rain and stupidity, and you get nowhere.
And the trooper lights.
And the trooper lights. Yeah. Honey, I'll be home. Yeah. Cook some chicken.
So if that's a one item agenda, one agenda meeting, You know, hopefully we can be done in 2 or 3 hours. So
that's fine. Yeah, let's since we had it on a calendar for 6 o'clock, why don't we keep it at 6?
Okay.
And we'll make it as short as possible.
6 until. Up to midnight if we need to.
Good.
Well, y'all can go up to midnight. I will be here.
No, we won't go to midnight, that's for sure.
So it's March 16th.
Okay, so.
Monday, March 16th at 6.
Yeah, we'll go back to the 16th.
And the regular board meeting is the 23rd at 6.
And the regular board meeting is the 23rd.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. Anything else from any of the commissioners? Anything else from staff or executive director?
I have to make sure I get my nap early then.
Need your nap room. Okay, it's now 7:40, and we'll adjourn this meeting. If there's no anything else to do, meeting's adjourned.
Cool. Thank you.
That's
And you know, I just knew there was going to be a huge accident on that. And when I saw the lights, oh yeah, there's an accident. But then when I see, there's nothing.
There's all you got to say.
And there we go. Okay, I want to
meeting adjourned at 7:40.
It's not an issue. You don't have to drive 10.
No, breaking you and training to be better. I just didn't know if that was even in the round. So I figured I'd bring it up.
The way he thinks, he might.